Welcome to Torah Macha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel, Perek Chaf Hei, Chapter 25. The events of the last Perek, Perek Chaf Dalet, are still reeling in our minds. Perek Chaf Dalet wasn't just the last of the Perekim dealing with the Churban. It was also, in some ways, the most visceral. Whereas other Perekim had spoken about the Galut coming to Yerushalayim, they had generally only hinted to the actual destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Perek Chaf Dalet speaks about the destruction in direct and clear terms. Moreover, it includes a shocking symbolic act to bring home the shock of the loss of the Mikdash, the actual death of Yechezkel's wife. Ben Adam, hineni lokeach mimcha et machmat einacha b'magefa. Yechezkel, I'm taking from you the one your eye desires, your wife, in a plague. Suddenly, Yechezkel is not just called upon to enact symbolic things like building a diorama of Yerushalayim and destroying it. This time, a real-life tragedy affects him, and this becomes the symbol of something even larger. A real-life tragedy which affects the nation. Just as Yechezkel's beloved delight of his eyes is taken from him, so will God take the delight of their eyes and the comfort of their souls. Machmal einecha u'machmal nafshecha. The delight of your eyes and desire of your heart. The Beit HaMikdash itself. That's how Perek Chaf Dalet ended. And at this point, we might be looking for some comfort, some words of encouragement after the shock of the last Perek. But instead, what we find in Perek Chaf Hei are nevuot describing the downfall of the surrounding nations. We might wonder, why do we care about these nations at a time like this? It seems like a complete tangent. Why are these nevuot even here? So let's take a deep breath, pull back, and take a 50,000 feet view of the Sefer as a whole. Let's see if we can break it into parts. Pretty much, the last 24 chapters or so have all been one section. They've all been Yechezkel's vision of the upcoming destruction of the kingdom of Yehuda. Later on in the book, we have another clear, defined section. It's a section that involves words of comfort for a nation newly exiled. Then, in between those sections, we've got a group of chapters that all talk about prophecies concerning other nations. So, just structurally, we've got three main sections: destruction, nations, comfort, and redemption. Just the structure that we've laid out suggests that the middle section is a kind of bridge, a bridge between prophecies of destruction and prophecies of comfort and redemption. Here's how the Radak sees it. Ata hechel bepuranut ha'umot ha'shcheinot l'aretz Yisrael shesamchu l'churbana uv'chaloto l'taber b'churban eretz Yisrael b'parsha hazot patach b'churban ha'umot. Now, the Sefer begins with the punishments to the nations that neighbor Israel, who rejoice at her destruction, and once it finished speaking about the destruction of Israel, it began to describe the destruction of those nations. Radak notes that our chapter is not disconnected from the destruction that immediately precedes it. While Israel and the Navi Yechezkel are dumbstruck at the horrors that befall them, the nations led by Amon have a different reaction, a mirror image, an inverse reaction. They are rejoicing in the downfall of Yehuda, and that provokes God's anger. God will avenge Israel's honor, even if, at this moment in time, he won't actually protect her from the invading armies of Nebuchadnezzar. With this background in mind, let's begin to take a look at the first of the prakim in this section, Perek Chaf Hei. Our Perek is composed of a series of five sections, each describing the downfall of another nation who had a long-standing relationship with Bnei Yisrael. In our Perek, there are two nevuot to Amon, a nevuah to Moab, a nevuah to Edom, and a nevuah to Plishtim. And there is a common structure to these nevuot. Each of the sins of these surrounding nations is described in the same way. The description of the sins of each nation begins with the word Ya'an, because or since, and the punishment is described with the word lachen, therefore. Because you did X, therefore Y will befall you. Let's begin by looking at the ya'an of each of these sections, the sins which caused their downfall. Here is the sin of Amon, as described in the first nevuah. Ya'an amrech ha'ach el mikdashi ki nichal, ve'el adma Yisrael ki nashama, ve'el beit Yehuda ki alchu bagola. Because you said ha'ach, you rejoiced that my mikdash was desecrated, and that the land of Israel had become desolate, and that the house of Yehuda went to galut. In the second nevuah of Amon, Ya'an machacha yad, frakacha beregel, vatismach b'choshatcha b'nefesh el adma Yisrael. Because you clapped your hands and stamped your feet, rejoicing with all your heart at the disgrace of the land of Israel. In the case of Moab and Seir, we see something similar. Ya'an amor Moab v'Seir, hinei kechol hagoyim be'Yehuda. Because you mocked Yehuda, claiming that their downfall proves that they're no better than the rest of the nations. Now here's the sin that is recounted for Edom. Ya'an asot Edom b'inkom nakam le'Beit Yehuda, v'yashmu ashom v'nikmu bahem. But so as David suggests, this means that Edom joined the attackers. And finally, Plishtim. Ya'an aso Plishtim b'nikama, v'yinakmu nakam b'shat b'nefesh. Because Plishtim acted in revenge toward Israel, coming from their disdain and their hatred. Let's think. Is there a commonality between the sins of these nations that are being described here? Clearly, there is an edge of mockery to all of these words of the nations. But even more than that, if you think about it, these sins all describe the reactions of the nations to the recent Churban of our nation. Imagine being that kid who falls on the playground. And instead of your friends expressing empathy at your skinned knee, they clap and rejoice. Or they taunt you, telling you the reason you fell is because you are no better at running than anyone else. Or what if they take advantage of you, trip you, just when you fell? What if they join in hurting you? Now multiply that 10,000 times. This is no skinned knee these nations are reacting to. It's the destruction of our land. It's the Churban of Yerushalayim and our holy Mikdash. This reaction to our downfall will not be tolerated by God. Lachain, therefore, because of these sins, God will take vengeance upon these nations and afflict them terribly. There is a lachain, a therefore, a consequence to the sins of the nations. The psukim describe how each of these nations will be afflicted. First, Amon. Lachain hineni notnach livnei kedem lemarasha. Therefore, I will cause you to become inherited by those in the east. Madain paras. Hema yochlu piryech vehema yishtu chalvech. They will eat your fruits and drink your milk. Lachain hinei natiti yadi alayich unutatich levaz lagoyim vichratich min ha'amim v'havaretich min ha'aretzot. I will stretch my hand out against you and cause you to be mocked by the nations. You will be cut off from the nations and destroyed from the land. What about the lachain from Moab? Hineni poteach ketef Moab meha'arim me'arav mikatzehu. God will open her borders, allowing her to be invaded by surrounding nations. B'Moav eseh shvatim. I will punish Moab. And Edom? They too will suffer. Natiti yadi al Edom v'yachrati mimena adam ubehima. I will stretch my hand out against Edom and cut off from them man and animal. Natati enikmati be'edom v'yan ami Yisrael. I will take vengeance against Edom through my people Israel, and they will carry out my wrath and anger against them. The Plishtim too will be treated with revenge. Hineni noteya di al Plishtim, vihrati ekritim, vevarati et sheri chof hayam, vasiti bam nekamo gedolo betochacho chema. I will stretch my hand against the Plishtim, and I will cut off those known as Kretim. And I will even destroy their remnants, and I will take great vengeance against them with punishments of anger. Nekama, God's vengeance, becomes one of the overall themes of the Perek. The word nakam appears multiple times throughout this section. The question is, why? Are we meant to take comfort somehow in God's vengeance on the nations? Are we meant to rejoice in their downfall just as they rejoiced at ours? Is this a kind of nekama game? Perhaps there is another way to think about this. Maybe it's not the downfall of the nations we are to take comfort in, but the fact that the revenge is coming from God. Maybe it's all about what that revenge coming from God says about how he views our relationship with him. Because at this point in our history, with the destruction of the Mikdash, it would be natural for the nation to feel at an all-time low in the relationship, even to feel disconnected from God. After all, God has just destroyed our Mikdash, our meeting place. He's allowed the nations to attack us, and we've been driven to exile. We aren't sure. Does God still love us? Under normal conditions, when Israel is basically serving God and not betraying him with murder and with idolatry, God's love would express itself in the economy of Israel flourishing and with God protecting Israel from attacks from the nations, in the fulfillment of the bracha outlined in Parsha Bechukotai. But what can God do to show his love now? At this point, God's love can't express itself in that normal way, and so the love that God has for us will instead express itself in taking vengeance on others for their slights against us, for their rejoicing in our downfall. Yes, Israel must fall. And no one is more saddened by our downfall than Hashem, the one who loves us. And so now, the first little vestige of that love to appear in the immediate aftermath of the destruction is God's vengeance against those that make fun of Israel and rejoice in her downfall. Bottom line is, if God's love can't express itself in protection against Israel, it will secondarily express itself in vengeance against those who gloat in their downfall. This idea of God's love to us expressing itself in his vengeance against the nations is not new to Yosef Yechezkel. It's actually foreshadowed all the way back in the Chumash, in Parshat Ha'azinu. There, God forecasts an era of terrible destruction for Israel, and that era is immediately followed by vengeance against those who would rejoice in Israel's troubles and help bring them about. In times when Israel is treacherous, vengeance is one of the last areas in which God's love for us can express itself. Instead of preempting destruction by providing protection from Israel's enemies, the way God's love might normally be expressed, now God's love will express itself differently. It will provide vengeance against Israel's enemies after the fact, after the destruction. Here's Ha'azinu explaining this. Halohu kamusi madi chatum ba'otrotai. Their taunts are stored with me, sealed in my treasury. Li nakam v'shilam. Le'it tamut raglam. Vengeance and punishment are mine at the time that their legs stumble. Ki karov yom dam v'chash atidot lamo. The day of their punishment is approaching and coming closer. Im shanoti barak harbi v'tolchez v'mishmat yadi. When I sharpen my sword and grab hold of justice, ashiv nakam l'tzarai l'musanai ashalem. I will bring vengeance, nakam, against my enemies and pay back those who hate me. Harninu go yimamo ki dam avadav. Yikom. Nations praise Hashem's people, for he will yikom, he will avenge their blood. V'nakam yashiv l'tzarav v'chiper ad mato amo. For nakam, vengeance, will come against his enemies and clean his land for his nation. Now, getting back to Sefer Yechezkel, if in fact we are to view this section of Prakim, the ones describing the downfall of the nations, as an expression of God's love for us, then it does provide at least a degree of comfort in the aftermath of the terrible destruction we just learned about in the last parak. The awareness that God still loves us and protects us, even while we are in Galut, brings with it a will to forge ahead. The section, then, is not just an intermission section, selling condiments in order to keep us busy until we get to the redemption sections. It is the first baby step on our way toward redemption. And there is one more perk to God's vengeance, which appears as a refrain at the end of almost each of the nevuot in the parak. These nevuot end with a form of the words, V'yad'u ki ani Hashem. They will know that I am God. God's vengeance against the nations will show that he controls the world, that the events in this world are perpetrated by God. Thank you for studying together. Leilu Nishmat, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat, Alexander Sender.